The celebration resumed at Annette's house, where dinner was served and friends filtered in and out. After the dishes were done, everyone gathered in the sunroom, where an old-fashioned gospel sing-along erupted. Barry Scheck, a Jewish guy from New York, heard music he'd never heard before and gamely tried to sing along. Mark Barrett was there. It was a proud and remarkable moment for him, and he didn't want to leave. Sarah Bonnell, Janet Chesley, and Kim Marks all sang along. Greg Wilhoit and his sister Nancy were there. The Fritz family, Dennis, Elizabeth, and Wanda, sat close together and joined in the fun. That night, everyone stayed around for the celebration party at Annette's house, Renee said. There was lots of food, singing, laughter. Annette was playing the piano, Ronnie playing the guitar, and the rest of us joining and singing a variety of songs. Everyone was singing, clapping, having such a good time. Then, at 10 o'clock, there was silence as the news came on the television. We were all sitting in the sunroom, wall-to-wall people, waiting to hear the news we had longed to hear for so many years, announcing to the town that my little brother, Ronald Keith Williamson, was not only free, but innocent. Although it was such a joyous occasion, and we were all so relieved, we could see the sickness in Ronnie's eyes from the many years of being tormented and abused. They celebrated again at the TV news report. When it was over, Mark Barrett and Barry Scheck and some of the crowd said their goodnights. Tomorrow would be a very long day. Later in the evening, the phone rang and Annette answered it. An anonymous caller said the Ku Klux Klan was in the area and looking for Ronnie. One of the great rumors of the day was that someone on the Carter side had bought a contract for a hit on Ron and Dennis, and that the KKK was now in the business of hired killings. There were remnants of Klan activity in southeastern Oklahoma, but it had been decades since the group had been suspected of murder. They normally didn't target white people, but in the heat of the moment, the Klan was considered the nearest organized gang that might be able to pull off such a hit. The call was chilling nonetheless, and Annette whispered the message to Renee and Gary. They decided to take the threat seriously, but try to keep it from Ronnie. The happiest night of our lives soon became the most terrifying night of our lives, Renee said. We decided to call the Ada police. They informed us they would be sending no one, and there was nothing they could do unless something happened. How could we be so naive to think they would protect us? In a panic, we all ran through the house, closing blinds, locking windows and doors. It was obvious no one was going to sleep because everyone's nerves were on edge. Our son-in-law was worried about his wife and new baby being in such danger. We gathered around and prayed and asked the Lord to calm our nerves and for the angels to surround our house and protect us. We all made it through the night unharmed. The Lord once again honored our prayers. Looking back on the night, it's almost humorous to think our first thought was to call the Ada police. Ann Kelly of the Ada Evening News had a full day covering the events. That night, she received a call from Chris Ross, assistant district attorney. Ross was upset and complained that the prosecutors and police were being vilified. No one was telling their side of the story.